All right, let us begin by quickly reviewing some of the concepts we covered. And some of the main concepts we've covered so far is that human physiology is the study of how the human body functions. And we saw that the body is made up of different systems. And in order to function, we've got systems such as the respiratory system, the digestive system, the cardiovascular system, etc. Now, in order to remain healthy and functioning, the body must maintain what we call homeostasis. This is one of the key concepts of physiology. And what do we mean by homeostasis? Really, we're referring to the relatively stable conditions in the body's internal environment. And by internal environment, we in particular are talking about the extracellular fluid. The extracellular fluid is the fluid outside the cells, it's between the cells, it's the interstitial fluid, and it's also made up of the plasma in your blood. It's another very important component. Constant values. What you do is it fluctuates up and down. For example, we could take a single variable such as body temperature, and we'd like to maintain our body temperature at about 37 degrees. Well, you can't maintain that absolutely constant, so it will go up a little bit, 37.1, 37.2, and then it will drop down a little bit, 36.9, 36.8. So how does the body work out how it keeps it constant at around about the 37 degrees? Well, key to this is communication. And communication is mainly achieved by two systems in the body, which is the nervous and the endocrine system, and they work together. So let's have a look at some of those factors which go into maintaining homeostasis. So really there are three factors which will work together, or three components which work together to maintain homeostasis. First, we've got a receptor. And this is a sensor which is going to monitor the environment in some way, and then it's going to be able to send information to the second component, which is the control center. And often the control center is the brain. Okay, it knows what the set point is, and it looks at the input it's receiving and can send out the appropriate output from that. And then the third thing you've got is you've got the effector, and that is going to change the response, do whatever you need to in order to get back to normal again. The other key feature about homeostasis is that most mechanisms work on what we call negative feedback mechanisms. So let's have an example of negative feedback. Let's look at temperature as an example of how this works. So remember, we said that our temperature needed to be maintained at about 37 degrees, and we said we'd have a receptor which would be able to tell what the temperature was, and that would send the information to the control center, and the control center would be constantly receiving this, and then the control could send information out to our effector. So in the case of temperature, let's imagine it's a very, very hot day, we're going outside, and our temperature starts to rise. So it was 37, and now it's going to rise to 37.1, for example. As soon as it starts to rise, we'll have receptors. So we've got little nerve endings in our skin which are able to determine what the temperature is, and they'll be picking up the fact that the temperature is increasing, and they are going to send messages via nerve pathways. We call those afferent or afferent pathways, and they're going to go to the brain. And the brain is going to receive that information and go, oh, temperature's gone up, it's hotter outside than we thought. And then that is going to send information out along other nerve pathways called efferent pathways, and they're going to go to the effectors. And in this case, the effectors will be sweat glands. And so you'll start to sweat, and then the temperature will drop back down to 37 degrees again. So that's an example of a negative feedback loop. And we can have the opposite effect. What happens when our temperature goes down? It will work in a very, very similar kind of fashion.